acid land with a song on my tongue and a wheel in my hand. Where am I going? Wouldn't you love to know? Where the water runs clean and the clouds run dry, the garden explodes and the air gets you high. Where am I going? Wouldn't you love to know? But if I told you then,
how great is that song? That's Matt Mays from his debut solo release. And you know what? Matt's on the phone. Hi, Matt.
How's it going?
Matt, when I go through a CD, the first time I listen to it, I like to make myself little notes what songs I like the best and what songs I'm going to play on the show. And for some reason, I didn't mark that as one of my tracks, and I've been listening to this CD lately. That has got to be my favorite song all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah?
That's a great song.
Cute. Thanks, man.
Well, thank you. It's a great album, and it's good to talk to you.
Yeah.
We've tried a couple of times in the past, but you're here now, and that's good.
Yeah.
Glad to have you on the show. So, Matt, I sort of first became aware of you. You were in a band called the Guthries.
Right.
And the band started to get some attention with their first record off Windmill, which is wonderful. And then you weren't in the band anymore. And it seemed like maybe you know, because they were getting a lot of press and you weren't, that maybe you were going to get, maybe that wasn't such a good thing that you weren't in the band. But it turned out okay for you because their second album sucked and the band broke up. And now you're a big rock star, so good for you.
Thanks.
But was that sort of an intimidating time? All of a sudden, going solo after being in a band that was getting all this press in the UK and stuff.
Yeah. Well, not really. I just knew that that's what I wanted to do, and
oh yeah,
I just felt so strongly about it that I didn't really even care what came out of it. I just knew that that's what I wanted to do. So
what do you want to do? What do you mean by that? You just
well,
want to
I
be a
just,
solo
I just artist? I just knew I wanted to be on my own and
right.
All my own shots and do my own thing and have complete control, you know. I just knew that it was time that I needed that, you know.
Right. Now, this first record, it kind of follows, I think, along a lot of the same lines as some of the stuff you're doing with the Guthries. There's a lot of country in here and stuff like that. Did you grow up listening to mostly country music, or is that?
Not really, no. I mean, I usually just write kind of, you know, sort of normal pop songs.
Yeah,
there's just sort of country instruments on top of them. It's,
yeah,
I don't find it sort of particularly country music. I just like pedal steel guitar and, you know, things like that.
Right.
So it's not necessarily something that, you know, I don't feel it's sort of country music per se, but it's sort of a country feel on some.
Yeah.
Like,
Well, you sure seem to be stretching out, though, because, I mean, I saw you in El Torpedo the last time you were through with Sam Roberts.
Right.
And from some of the stuff that I've been hearing about you, you're sort of going off in more of a rock and roll direction. I kind of take it akin to more of a Neil Young kind of a thing these days with El Torpedo. Would you say that's sort of?
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah, I'd say that. Yeah, it's just sort of been going with the flow. Usually, you know, I just, you know, get the group of guys together and just play, and that's sort of, I don't want to try to change or inhibit anything that comes out, you know what I mean? So when we get together, it's sort of whatever comes out, and it's just sort of, yeah, it's definitely being a little more rock-oriented, you know.
And you got the producer for the Stones doing your next record?
He engineered a lot of really great records. He's mostly sort of started out as an engineer for a lot of great records.
Yeah.
And now he's been producing for the last, you know, 10 years or whatever, but yeah, he's great. Yeah, he's worked with so many awesome people, and he's top notch. I'm really looking forward to getting in the studio.
It must be a pretty exciting time for you with all these things starting to happen. You had the big release on Warner Music, and you won a bunch of them big ECMA awards and stuff again, and people are starting to pay attention to you now. Do you feel like you're kind of, it's an exciting time to be Matt Maes?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, it's definitely a good thing. I don't really, I don't know, it's hard to say. It doesn't feel that much different for me, you know.
Yeah.
We're getting some better shows, and I get to play in front of a few more people now. But other than that, it's not so much different. I don't really notice too much difference. You know what I mean? It's,
yeah.
With the press and everything, I don't usually read any of my reviews or anything like that. I try to stay out of that.
Yeah.
Or watch any of the TV shows, or, you know, I try to keep my head completely clear of it all. So. Yeah, it's kind of weird, you know, when some people, you know, come up to you on the street and, you know, say they like your music or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's happening more lately, and that's why I do it, you know, so it's great.
At the same time as not paying attention necessarily to the reviews and stuff, you must be aware that people are starting to talk about you.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I definitely hear from people and you know, getting a lot more feedback, you know, just from everybody. And yeah, it's definitely picking up as far as that stuff, you know. Which is great.
Are you at all surprised at how quickly it sort of happened? I mean, it hasn't been that long since. I mean, you released the CD independently. When was that? I mean, it was only a year ago, probably, right?
Yeah, about a year and a half ago, I released it just in Halifax.
Yeah,
pretty much. And I released it in October, and it's done amazingly well since October. It's picked up an insane amount, which is surprising for me. I did this record just to do it for fun, not really, you know. So. Kind of nice that it's getting, getting some light shed on it, you know.
And you sure have changed, in my opinion, a bit. Because I mean, the first time we saw you through doing the solo thing, you're opening for Kathleen Edwards,
right?
And you were having a rough night. I'll give you that. Your harmonica kept falling, and your guitar didn't work, and all kinds of funny things kept happening. But you seemed a little bit intimidated by being out in front of a lot of people. But the last time I saw you playing for a couple thousand people, opening for Sam Roberts, you seemed much more confident. And excited to be up there. Now, is that because you have a band behind you now, and you feel better doing that, or have you really developed your stage presence a lot?
I think solo shows are a lot different for me. I get a lot more nervous when I'm on my own. You know what I mean? Like I get with the band, we were playing every night of the week, and I knew that we'd put down a fairly tight show, and you know this with that, but. Like with that Kathleen show, it was my first solo show in a long time, and there's, you know, a good crowd, and it was one of the first times I've ever played in front of, like, a bunch of people actually silent and listening,
yeah.
You know,
so, yeah.
And that gets sort of intimidating sometimes, but, it's totally two different vibes, but with the band, I definitely feel a lot more comfortable, I guess.
Do you get to play with the band pretty much all the time now?
Yeah, quite a bit. I'm trying to get some more solo shows booked because I love doing that too, you know. But
yeah,
we're full on right now. We've been playing so much and practicing a lot and trying to get the songs, new songs done and in the can and everything like that.
Yeah,
you know, for the studio. So
it
yeah, I've been full on.
it kind of seems like two almost totally different shows for me, even though they are the same songs. I think that what you did with El Torpedo, and I can't say I'm an expert, I only saw you opening once, but it seemed to me like you put a whole different spin on them and sort of are able to appeal to different people with that than you did with the solo show.
Right.
So are you finding that you're able to connect with sort of different segments of people? Like, that was definitely a more of a rock and roll crowd because, you know, it was a Sam Roberts show and you were louder and all that stuff. And then Kathleen Edwards, you were probably more appealing to you know, I don't want to say a folkier crowd, but I'm sure that you could as well.
Right, that's what you mean. Yeah, I think that's, I think it's fairly important, you know. I mean, you know, also because I don't have a preference, you know, I like playing the solo set. And I like playing the rock and roll set, you know, so it's a nice change. And they lend, you know, it all lends itself to one another. It's, you know, just when I start getting sick of, you know, losing my hearing every night.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of nice to go back and get into the songs and try to get the songs across to the people. And then as soon as I start, you know, sort of getting sick of that, it's nice to get back with the band again and start, you know, getting some jams on and stuff. So it's really nice. It's a nice change to go back and forth, you know. I've got plans to venture into different styles of music as well, too. So,
oh, yeah?
Just because I like the way that, you know, once you get sick of something, you know, you do something else. I think it really helps longevity, you know.
Right. Helps keep you from getting bored and keep you from getting pigeonholed into something.
It's very important to keep a fresh mind if you want to stay creative your whole life, you know. I think it's very important. So.
Yeah. How long have you been writing songs, Matt?
I guess about 8 years or something like that.
Yeah.
I've been writing since I was about 16, I guess.
I mean, you're not even that old now, but sort of, how did you learn how to write a good song?
Just by writing tons and tons and tons of songs. You know, like, I've got bags and bags of 4-track tapes from just growing up, just recording songs, and it's just all crap. There's so much bad stuff, you know, and you gotta just, it's not one of those things that, you know, you can just do. I found with me, it took me a long time to learn how to get a song out. You know, I don't usually work on songs, you know. I don't usually, if they come out, then they're out. If they don't come out, then they're not worth singing. For me personally. So it was one of those things where I spent years trying to write songs and, you know, but the ones I've always just kept are the ones that just sort of came out, you know.
Yeah. So does that mean that you don't really tinker with the song once it's written? It kind of comes out finished?
Yeah, pretty much comes out finished. So that's why I can't really worry about not writing songs or, you know, because if they come out, they come out. If they don't, they don't, you know.
Yeah.
I know I'll always have songs coming out just because I always have, you know. So
yeah.
It's like sometimes I go 2 or 3 months without writing a song and I get a little freaked out. And then, you know, all of a sudden I'll be, you know, I'll write 5 in a week or whatever and all the keepers, you know. You just never know. It's very sporadic, you know.
Yeah. Do you feel any more pressure to pump out the good songs now that you sort of have this enhanced image and people behind you and all that stuff?
Not so much, really, no. I mean, I don't usually get too caught up in all of that. You know, I try not to anyways. You know?
Yeah.
But I just like to write songs and, you know, I like, I don't think any of that really should get in the way or will get in the way. I don't think anyways. I hope not, you know.
Yeah.
Just try to keep it real, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's important not to get caught up in all that stuff. I just like to play, you know, music at the end of the day. So just trying to keep that frame in mind, you know.
Right. Where are you calling us today from, Matt?
My hometown, Dartmouth. I'm at home.
In Dartmouth,
right now,
eh?
My house, yeah.
You still live there, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's a wonderful place, and I spent some time out there pretty recently, and there are a lot of references to Halifax and Dartmouth sort of in your music, and I think I get a genuine feel for the place, having been there now, through your music. Do you find that there's sort of a musical feel that, how much of Dartmouth do you think is in your music, or am I just making that up?
I think quite a bit, you know. I think Dartmouth is one of those places that really takes a bit of heat because it's on the opposite side of the harbor to Halifax. So, you know, nobody who wants to be cool or trendy ever lives in Dartmouth. So
But it's so much cheaper there. This is the one thing that I didn't understand. Like they're you know, they're, you can spit and hit Halifax from Dartmouth, but it's like insanely cheaper and much more laid back.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's laid back, and I grew up here. You know, I've been kicking it in Dartmouth since I was, you know, 6 years old or whatever. So I've had so many great times here. You know, this is not a corner of the whole town that I haven't had, you know, an event happen on. You know, or those things are everywhere you look. I've had a story to tell about wherever, you know, you're looking, pretty much. So it's just one of those things where, you know, I've just grown to love it. It's not one of those places I think you can come to and just fall in love with right away. It's a really great town, you know, but I've just grown to love it, you know. Had so many good times here, and it just feels like home to me.
For sure. Is there a lot of music that happens in Dartmouth, or do you have to go across the harbor for most of that stuff?
No, there's some wicked music going on in Dartmouth. Like, you know, some really close friends of mine, Dale, who used to be in the Guthries with me, he's working on a new record over here in Dartmouth, and Joel Plaskett lives here in Dartmouth, and you know, he's amazing, and a guy named Adam Puddington, who lives with Dale, he's a big influence of mine, too. We always have great jams over here in Dartmouth, and it's great, you know.
And it seems like there's a great community of artists sort of there. We have a great community of artists here in Winnipeg, too.
Very
supportive. But it seems like there's a great community as well.
Yeah, it's the same sort of vibe, I think, you know. Winnipeg's always had that reputation of having a really sort of family-oriented music scene, which I think is important, you know. Like, Halifax, Dartmouth music scene is amazing because there's not that many people, but there's so many great bands for the amount of people and so many different genres as well. It's not like, you know, some places where it's all one kind of music, you know.
Yeah.
I find the scene around here is like, there's a bunch of, you know, great bands, and they're all completely different from one another. Everybody's doing their own thing, you know, so it's great, you know. It's awesome. And everybody's really behind each other. There's no competition here.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's really happy to see each other, and everybody's really happy to see each other do well, and it's really nice to come home to you and have that support. Whereas I find bigger cities like Toronto, everybody's just out to kill, you know.
Yeah.
And the music scene suffers because of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
have you spent enough time in the different regions of the city or different regions of the country, I mean, to get a feel of how sort of different they are?
I don't know. Not a whole lot, you know.
Yeah.
It's one of the things I kinda know, and you talk to people, and it's just sort of one of those things that you learn from the people by asking, you know, what's the music scene like here? And if you ask enough people, you just get a sort of understanding, you know. But I get a feeling. It doesn't take too long to sort of figure out what the vibe is, you know.
Yeah. But it seems like touring is sort of your focus these days, is it? You're just working hard on doing that? Or is there a lot of writing and preparing for another album going on?
A bit of both, you know. Go through stages, but lately just touring a lot. You know, playing everywhere, and which I love to do. You know, the more I'm on the road, the happier I am. So I'm really into it. So just pretty much touring and just trying to get the songs tight, you know, before we go into the studio, and we're gonna try to do it fairly live off the floor. So we want to just get tightened up, and so we're into the touring lately.
What kind of things are you looking to do different on your next record as opposed to what you did on the first one?
I think, the first one was just, I mean, I started playing everything myself, you know, all the instruments. And then I gradually, you know, got some more people in the studio. And it was very, this is sort of like a patched up pair of jeans, pretty much, you know. Which is cool, you know. I'm pretty proud of that record. And I don't know, it sounds fairly live off the floor for being so overdubbed and everything, but City of Lakes is live on that record, which I'm glad, but that's what I'm going to do with the next record. Is we're going to just try to do it a lot more live off the floor and capture sort of the feel of the band, you know.
Yeah.
Try to get a real we're going to just get the studio just really comfortable, and we're just going to just roll tape forever, you know, and just capture everything, and just keep playing the tunes, and just get to a point where we're not realizing the tape's rolling anymore, and just do our thing, what we do best, you know. We're not the best musicians. We're just sort of into, you know, the feel and having a good vibe and, you know, sort of capturing a special take as opposed to just, you know, trying to, you know, good takedown, you know, which is always nerve-wracking for me.
Yeah.
I just really want to go in and try some, you know, some different weird stuff and, you know, get done to just, you know, get some really good honest sounds and you know, just do our thing pretty much.
Now, here's something. Maybe you don't want to tell me this, but your record is insanely cheap everywhere I go. It's under $10.
Yeah.
Can you make any money selling them for that cheap, or?
Yeah. I wanted to, you know, it's one of those things we worked out together with record companies, and, you know, it's one of those sort of things we're trying out, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not losing any of my cut from it.
Oh, that's good.
It's just one of those things that artist development sort of thing. Warner's not looking to make any money right now. Just
getting it into more hands that way.
Just getting it into more hands right now, and then, you know, it might change a little bit, but I'm pretty keen on keeping things affordable. It's really nice to know that my CD is like $8 across Canada, you know?
Yeah, no kidding.
And I can, you know, nobody is that cheap. You know, I'm the only guy in almost, you know, outside of the bargain bin that's only $8.
Yeah.
And that's pretty awesome, you know?
So now are you going to have a hard time charging $15 for the next one, or?
I know, that's it.
People will think you're taking them to the cleaners now that you're charging the regular price for the next
one. Exactly.
But I'm looking forward to it. Do we have any idea when you plan to have something new out?
I'd say by the fall.
Oh, really?
By the fall, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, really soon, I would say.
Thanks for being on the show. It's been a real pleasure.
My pleasure, man.
Oh, darling, I feel your pain in the summer. Rain in your eyes, trying so hard to put the blue back into your sky. And oh darling, I've been dreaming of you. Have you been praying for me as I cast my mind and soul to the sea. I got a plan that'll get you through and start a new life. Well, it's all over now. Spend my days counting counterfeit. So hard to get the blue back into your eyes.